I'm holding my breath and trying not to think about the seriousness or implications of what I'm doing. The thought of getting caught is terrifying because I'm still not sure if I even want to be found. I do what Holder says and walk carefully, not wanting to leave any evidence behind that I was here. When I reach my door, I take a deep breath and place my hand on the doorknob, then slowly turn it. When the door opens and the room becomes visible, I flip on the light to get a better look at it. Other than a few boxes piled into the corner, everything looks familiar. It still looks like a small child's room, untouched for 13 years. It makes me think of seeing Leslie's room and how no one has touched it since she died. It must be hard to move past the physical reminders of people you love. I run my fingers across the dresser and leave a line in the dust. Seeing the trace of my finger quickly reminds me that I'm not wanting to leave evidence of my being here, so I lift my hand and bring it down to my side, then wipe away the trail with my shirt. The picture isn't on the dresser of my biological mother where I remember it to be. I look around the room hoping to find something of hers that I can take with me. I have no memories of her, so a picture is more than I could ever ask for. I just want something to tie me to her. I need to see what she looks like, and hope it will give me any memories at all that I can hold on to. I walk over to the bed and sit down. The theme in the room is the sky, which is ironic considering the name Karen gave me. There are clouds and moons on the curtains and walls, and the comforter is covered in stars. There are stars everywhere, the big plastic kind that stick to walls and ceilings and glow in the dark. The room is covered in them, just like the stars that are on my ceiling back at Karen's house. I remember begging Karen for them when I saw them at the store a few years ago. She thought they were childish, but I had to have them. I wasn't even sure why I wanted them so bad, but now it's becoming clear. I must have loved stars when I was Hope. The nervousness already planted in my stomach intensifies when I lie back on the pillow and look up at the ceiling. A familiar wave of fear washes over me, and I turn to look at the bedroom door. It's the exact same doorknob I was praying wouldn't turn in the nightmare I had the other night. I suck in a breath and squeeze my eyes shut, wanting the memory to go away. I've somehow locked it away for 13 years, but being here on this bed, I can't lock it away anymore. The memory grabs hold of me like a web, and I can't break out of it. A warm tear trickles down my face, and I wish I had listened to Holder. I should never have come back here. If I had never came back, I never would have remembered.
13 years earlier.
I used to hold my breath and hope he would think I was sleeping. It doesn't work because he doesn't care if I'm sleeping or not. One time I tried to hold my breath and hoped he would think I was dead. That didn't work either because he never even noticed I was holding my breath. The doorknob turns and I'm all out of tricks right now, and I try to think of another one really fast, but I can't. He closes the door behind him, and I hear his footsteps coming closer. He sits down beside me on my bed, and I hold my breath anyway. Not because I think it'll work this time, but because it helps me not feel how scared I am.
"Hey, princess," he says, tucking my hair behind my ear. "I got you a present."
I squeeze my eyes shut because I do want a present. I love presents, and he always buys me the best presents because he loves me. But I hate it when he brings the presents to me at nighttime because I never get them right away. He always makes me tell him thank you first. I don't want this present. I don't.
"Princess?"
My daddy's voice always makes my tummy hurt. He always talks to me so sweet, and it makes me miss my mommy. I don't remember what her voice sounded like,
But Daddy said it sounded like mine. Daddy also says that Mommy would be sad if I stopped taking his presents, because she's not here to take his presents anymore. This makes me sad, and I feel really bad, so I roll over and look up at him. Can I have my present tomorrow, Daddy? I don't want to make him sad, but I don't want that box tonight. I don't. Daddy smiles at me and brushes my hair back.
Sure, you can have it tomorrow. But don't you want to thank Daddy for buying it for you?
My heart starts to beat really loud, and I hate it when my heart does that. I don't like the way my heart feels, and I don't like the scary feeling in my stomach. I stop looking at my daddy, and I look up at the stars instead, hoping I can think about how pretty they are. If I keep thinking about the stars and the sky, maybe it will help my heart to stop beating so fast and my tummy to stop hurting so much. I try to count them, but I keep stopping at number 5. I can't remember what number comes after 5, so I have to start over. I have to count the stars over and over, and only 5 at a time, because I don't want to feel my daddy right now. I don't want to feel him or smell him or hear him, and I have to count them and count them and count them and count them until I don't feel him or hear him or smell him anymore. Then when my daddy finally stops making me thank him, he pulls my nightgown back down and whispers, "Good night, princess." I roll over and pull the covers over my head and squeeze my eyes shut, and I try not to cry again, but I do. I cry like I do every time Daddy brings me a present at night. I hate getting presents.
Sunday, October 28th, 2012, 7:29 p.m. I stand up and look down at the bed, holding my breath in fear of the sounds that are escalating from deep within my throat. I will not cry. I will not cry. Slowly sinking to my knees, I place my hands on the edge of the bed and run my fingers over the yellow stars poured across the deep blue background of the comforter. I stare at the stars until they begin to blur from the tears that are clouding my vision. I squeeze my eyes shut and bury my head into the bed, grabbing fistfuls of the blanket. My shoulders begin to shake as the sobs I've been trying to contain violently break out of me. With one swift movement, I stand up, scream, and rip the blanket off the bed, throwing it across the room. I ball my fists and frantically look around for something else to throw. I grab the pillows off the bed and chuck them at the reflection in the mirror of the girl I no longer know. I watch as the girl in the mirror stares back at me, sobbing pathetically. The weakness in her tears infuriates me. We begin to run toward each other until our fists collide against the glass, smashing the mirror. I watch as she falls into a million shiny pieces onto the carpet. I grip the edges of the dresser and push it sideways, letting out another scream that has been pent up for way too long. When the dresser comes to rest on its back, I rip open the drawers and throw the contents across the room, spinning and throwing and kicking at everything in my path. I grab at the sheer blue curtain panels and yank them until the rod snaps and the curtains fall around me. I reach over to the boxes piled high in the corner, and without even knowing what's inside, I take the top one and throw it against the wall with as much force as my 5-foot-3-inch frame can muster.
"I hate you," I cry. "I hate you, I hate you, I hate you." I'm throwing whatever I can find in front of me at whatever else I can find in front of me. Every time I open my mouth to scream, I taste the salt from the tears that are streaming down my cheeks. Holder's arms suddenly engulf me from behind and grip me so tightly I become immobile. I jerk and toss and scream some more until my actions are no longer thought out. They're just reactions.
"Stop," he says calmly against my ear, unwilling to release me.
I hear him, but I pretend not to. or I just don't care. I continue to struggle against his grasp, but he only tightens his grip. Don't touch me! I yell at the top of my lungs, clawing at his arms. Again, it doesn't faze him.
Don't touch me. Please, please, please.
The small voice echoes in my mind, and I immediately become limp in his arms. I become weaker as my tears grow stronger, consuming me. I become nothing more than a vessel for the tears that won't stop shedding. I am weak, and I'm letting him win. Holder loosens his grip around me and places his hands on my shoulders, then turns me around to face him. I can't even look at him. I melt against his chest from exhaustion and defeat, taking in fistfuls of his shirt as I sob, my cheek pressed against his heart. He places his hand on the back of my head and lowers his mouth to my ear.
Sky.
His voice is steady and unaffected.
You need to leave. Now.
I can't move. My body is shaking so hard I'm afraid my legs won't move even if I will them to. As if he knows this, he scoops me up in his arms and walks me out of the bedroom. He carries me across the street and places me in the passenger seat. He takes my hand and looks at it, then grabs his jacket out of the back seat.
Here, use that to wipe off the blood. I'm going back inside to straighten up what I can.
The door shuts and he sprints back across the street. I look down at my hand, surprised that I'm cut. I can't even feel it. I wrap my hand up in the sleeve of his jacket, then pull my knees up into the seat and hug them while I cry. I don't look at him when he gets back in the car. My whole body is shaking from the sobs that are still pouring out of me. He cranks the car and pulls away, then reaches across the seat and places his hand on the back of my head, stroking my hair in silence the entire way back to the hotel. He helps me out of the car and walks me back to the hotel room, never once asking me if I'm okay. He knows I'm not. There's really no point in even asking. When the hotel room door closes behind us, he walks me to the bed and I sit. He pushes my shoulders back until I'm flat on the bed, and he slips off my shoes. He walks to the bathroom, then comes back with a wet rag and picks up my hand, wiping it clean. He checks it for shards of glass, then gently lifts my hand to his mouth and kisses my hand.
It's just a few scratches, he says. Nothing too deep.
He adjusts me onto the pillow and slips his own shoes off, then climbs onto the bed beside me. He pulls the blanket over us and pulls me to him, tucking my head against his chest. He holds me and never once asks me why I'm crying, just like he used to do when we were kids. I try to get the images out of my head of what I remember happening to me at night in my room, but they won't go away. How any father could do that to his little girl. It's beyond my scope of comprehension. I tell myself that it never happened, that I'm imagining it, but every part of me knows it did happen, every part of me that remembers why I was happy to get in that car with Karen, every part of me that remembers all the nights I've made out with guys in my bed, never feeling a single thing while looking up at the stars. Every part of me that broke out into a full-blown panic attack the night Holder and I almost had sex. Every single part of me remembers, and I would do anything just to forget. I don't want to remember how my father sounded or felt at night, but with each passing second the memories become more and more vivid, only making it harder for me to stop crying. Holder is kissing me on the side of my head, telling me again how it'll be okay, that I shouldn't worry. But he has no idea. He has no idea how much I remember and what it's doing to my heart and my soul and my mind and to my faith in humanity as a whole. To know that those things were done to me at the hands of the only adult I had in my life, it's no wonder I've blocked everything out. I hold barely any memories of the day I was taken by Karen, and now I know why. It didn't feel like I was in the middle of a calamitous event the moment she stole me away from my life. To a little girl who was terrified of her life, I'm sure it felt more like Karen was rescuing me. I lift my gaze to Holder's, and he's looking down at me. He's hurting for me. I can see it in his eyes. He wipes away my tears with his finger and kisses me softly on the lips. I'm sorry. I should have never let you go inside. He's blaming himself again. He always feels like he's done something terrible when I feel like he's been nothing short of my hero. He's been with me through all of this, steadily carrying me through my panic attacks and freakouts until I'm calm. He's done nothing but be there for me, yet he still feels like this is somehow his fault. Holder, you didn't do anything wrong. Stop apologizing, I say through my tears. He shakes his head and tucks a loose strand of hair behind my ear. I shouldn't have taken you there. It's too much for you to deal with after just finding everything out. I lift up on my elbow and look at him. It wasn't just being there that was too much. It was what I remembered that was too much. You have no control over the things my father did to me. Stop placing blame on yourself for everything bad that happens to the people around you. He slides his hand up and through my hair with a worried look on his face. What are you talking about? What things did he do to you? The words are so hesitant to come out of his mouth because he more than likely knows. I think we've both known what happened to me as a child. We've just been in denial. I drop my arm and rest my head on his chest and don't answer him. My tears come back full force, and he wraps one arm tightly around my back and grips the back of my head with his other. He presses his cheek to the top of my head. No, Sky, he whispers. No. He says again, not wanting to believe what I'm not even saying. I grab fistfuls of his shirt and just cry while he holds me with such conviction that it makes me love him for hating my father just as much as I do. He kisses the top of my head and continues to hold me. He doesn't tell me he's sorry or ask how he can fix it because we both know we're at a loss. Neither of us knows what to do next. All I know at this point is that I have nowhere to go. I can't go back to the father who has rightful custody over me. I can't go back to the woman who wrongfully took me. And with light shed on my past, it turns out I'm still underage, so I can't even rely on myself. Holder is the only thing about my life that hasn't left me completely hopeless. And even though I feel protected wrapped up in his arms, the images and memories won't escape my head, and no matter what I do or how hard I try, I can't stop crying. He's quietly holding me, and I can't stop thinking about the fact that I need it to stop. I need Holder to take all of these emotions and feelings away for a little while because I can't take it. I don't like remembering what happened all those nights my father came into my room. I hate him with every ounce of my being. I hate that man for stealing that first away from me. I lift up and scoot my face closer to Holder, leaning over him. He places his hand on the side of my head, and his eyes search mine, wanting to know if I'm okay. I'm not. I slide my body on top of his and kiss him, wanting him to take away the feelings. I'd rather feel nothing at all than the hatred and sadness consuming me right now. I grab Holder's shirt and try to lift it over his head, but he pushes me off of him and onto my back. He lifts up on his arm and looks down at me. What are you doing? He asks. I slide my hand behind his neck and pull his face to mine, pressing my lips back to his. If I just kiss him enough, he'll relent and kiss me back. Then it'll all go away. He places his hand on my cheek and kisses me back momentarily. I let go of his head and start to pull off my shirt, but he pulls my hands away and brings my shirt back down.
Stop it. Why are you doing this?
His eyes are full of confusion and concern. I can't answer his question about why I'm doing this, because I'm not even sure. I know I just want the feeling to go away, but it's more than that. It's so much more than that, because I know if he doesn't take away what that man did to me right now, I feel like I'll never be able to laugh or smile or breathe again. I just need Holder to take it away. I inhale a deep breath and look him directly in the eyes. Have sex with me. His expression is unyielding, and he's staring at me hard now. He pushes up from the bed and stands up, then paces the floor. He runs his hands through his hair nervously and walks back toward the bed, standing at the edge of it.
Sky, I can't do this. I don't know why you're even asking for this right now.
I sit up in the bed, suddenly scared that he won't go through with it. I scoot to the edge of the bed where he's standing and I sit up on my knees, grasping his shirt.
Please, I beg. Please, Holder, I need this.
He pulls my hands from his shirt and takes two steps back. He shakes his head, still completely confused.
I'm not doing this, Sky. We're not doing this. You're in shock or something. I don't know. I don't even know what to say right now.
I sink back down onto the bed in defeat. The tears start flowing again, and I look up at him in complete desperation.
Please.
I drop my gaze to my hands and fold them together in my lap, unable to look him in the eyes when I speak.
Holder, he's the only one that's ever done that to me.
I slowly raise my eyes back up to meet his.
I need you to take that away from him.
Please. If words could break souls, my words just broke his in two. His face drops and tears fill his eyes. I know what I'm asking him to do, and I hate that I'm asking him for this, but I need it. I need to do whatever I can to minimize the pain and the hatred in me.
Please, Holder.
He doesn't want our first time to be this way. I wish it wasn't, but sometimes factors other than love make these decisions for you. Factors like hate. Sometimes in order to get rid of the hate, you become desperate. He knows hate, and he knows pain, and right now he knows how much I need this, whether he agrees with it or not. He walks back to the bed and sinks to his knees on the floor in front of me, bringing himself to my eye level. He grabs my waist and scoots me to the edge of the bed, then slides his hands behind my knees and wraps my legs around him. He pulls my shirt over my head, never once looking away from my eyes. When my shirt is off, he pulls his own shirt off. He wraps his arms around me and stands up, picking me up with him and walking to the side of the bed. He lays me down gently and lowers himself on top of me, then places his palms against the mattress on either side of my head, looking down at me with uncertainty. His finger brushes a tear away that's sliding down my temple.
Okay, he says assuredly, despite his contrasting eyes.
He lifts up onto his knees and reaches to his wallet on the nightstand. He takes a condom out, then removes his pants, never once taking his eyes off mine. He's watching me like he's waiting for any signs that I've changed my mind. Or maybe he's watching me like he is because he's afraid I'm about to have another panic attack. I'm not even sure that I won't, but I have to do this. I can't let my father own this part of me for one more second. Holder's fingers grasp the button on my jeans and he unbuttons them, then slides them off of me. I shift my gaze to the ceiling, feeling myself slip further and further away with every step closer he gets. I wonder if I'm ruined. I wonder if I'll ever be able to find pleasure in being with him in this way. He doesn't ask if I'm sure this is what I want. He knows I'm sure, so the question remains unspoken. He lowers his lips to mine and kisses me while he removes my bra and underwear. I'm glad he's kissing me, because it gives me an excuse to close my eyes. I don't like the way he's looking at me, like he wishes he were anywhere else right now than here with me. I keep my eyes closed when his lips separate from mine in order for him to put on the condom. When he's back on top of me, I pull him against me, wanting him to do this before he changes his mind. Sky. I open my eyes and see doubt in his expression, so I shake my head. No, don't think about it. Just do it, Holder. He closes his eyes and buries his head in my neck, unable to look at me. I just don't know how to deal with all of this. I don't know if this is wrong or if it's what you really need. I'm scared if I do this, I'll make it even harder for you. His words cut to my heart because I know exactly what he means. I don't know if this is what I need. I don't know if it'll ruin things between us. But right now, I'm so desperate to take this one thing away from my father. I'd risk it all. My arms that are wrapped tightly around him begin to shake, and I cry. He keeps his head buried in my neck and cradles my face in his hand, but as soon as he hears my tears, I can feel him attempting to hold back his own. The fact that this is causing him just as much distress lets me know that he understands. I tuck my head into his neck and lift myself against him, silently pleading with him to just do what I'm asking. He does. He positions himself against me, kisses me on the side of the head, then slowly enters me. I don't make a sound, despite the pain. I don't even breathe, despite my need for air. I don't even think about what's going on between us right now, because I'm not thinking at all. I'm picturing the stars on my ceiling, and I'm wondering if I just tear the damn things off the ceiling, if I'll never have to count them again. I'm successfully able to keep myself separated from what he's doing until he abruptly stills himself on top of me, his head still buried tightly against my neck. He's breathing heavily, and after a moment, he sighs and separates himself from me completely. He looks down at me and closes his eyes, then rolls away from me, sitting up on the edge of the bed, with his back to me. I can't do it, he says. It feels wrong, Sky. It feels wrong because you feel so good, but I'm regretting every single fucking second of it. He stands up and pulls his pants on, then grabs his shirt and the room key from the dresser. He never looks back at me as he exits the hotel room without another word. I immediately crawl off the bed and get in the shower because I feel dirty. I feel guilty for having him do what he just did, and I'm hoping the shower will somehow wash away that guilt. I scrub every inch of my body with soap until my skin hurts, but it doesn't help. I've successfully taken another intimate moment and ruined it for him. I could see the shame in his face when he left, when he walked out the door, refusing to look at me. I turn off the water and step out of the shower. After I dry off, I grab the robe from the back of the bathroom door and put it on. I brush out my hair and place my toiletries back into my cosmetic bag. I don't want to leave without telling Holder, but I can't stay here. I also don't want him to feel like he has to face me again after what just happened. I can call a cab to take me to the bus station and be gone before he comes back, if he's planning on even coming back. I open the bathroom door and step out into the hotel room, not expecting him to be sitting on the bed with his hands clasped between his knees. He darts his eyes up to mine as soon as he sees the bathroom door open. I pause mid-step and stare back at him. His eyes are red, and he's got a makeshift bandage made out of his t-shirt wrapped around his hand and covered in blood. I rush to him and take his hand, unwrapping the shirt to inspect it. Holder, what'd you do? I twist his hand back and forth and take in the gash across his knuckles. He pulls his hand away and rewraps it with the piece of t-shirt. I'm fine, he says, brushing it off. He stands up, and I take a step back, expecting him to walk out the door again. Instead, he stays directly in front of me, looking down at me. I'm so sorry, I whisper, looking up at him. I shouldn't have asked you to do that. I just needed... He grabs my face and presses his lips to mine, cutting me off mid-apology. Shut up, he says, looking into my eyes. You have absolutely nothing to apologize for. I didn't leave earlier because I was mad at you. I left because I was mad at myself. I back out of his grasp and turn to the bed, not wanting to watch as he places even more blame on himself. It's okay. I walk back to the bed and lift the covers. I can't expect you to want me in that way right now. It was wrong and selfish and way out of line for me to ask you to do that, and I'm really sorry. I lay down on the bed and roll away from him so he can't see my tears. Let's just go to sleep, okay? My voice is much calmer than I expected it to be. I really don't want him to feel bad. He's done nothing but be here for me throughout all of this, and I've done nothing for him in return. The best thing I could do for him at this point is to just break it off so he doesn't feel obligated to stand by me through this. He doesn't owe me a thing. You think I'm having a hard time with this because I don't want you? He walks around to the side of the bed that I'm facing and he kneels down. Sky, I'm having a hard time with this because everything that's happened to you is breaking my fucking heart and I have no idea how to help you. I want to be there for you and help you through this, but every word that comes out of my mouth feels like the wrong one. Every time I touch you or kiss you, I'm afraid you don't want me to. Now you're asking me to have sex with you because you want to take that from him, and I get it. I absolutely get where you're coming from, but it doesn't make it easier to make love to you when you can't even look me in the eyes. It hurts so much, because you don't deserve for it to be like this. You don't deserve this life. And there isn't a fucking thing I can do to make it better for you. I want to make it better, but I can't, and I feel so helpless. He has somehow sat up on the bed and pulled me to him during all of that, but I was so caught up in his words I didn't even notice. He wraps his arms around me and pulls me onto his lap, then wraps my legs around him. He takes my face in his hands and looks me directly in the eyes. And even though I stopped, I should have never even started without telling you first how much I love you. I love you so much. I don't deserve to touch you until you know for a fact that I'm touching you because I love you, and for no other reason. He presses his lips to mine and doesn't even give me a chance to tell him I love him in return. I love him so much it physically hurts. I'm not thinking about anything else right now but how much I love this boy and how much he loves me and how despite what's going on in my life, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else than in this moment with him. I try to convey everything I'm feeling through my kiss, but it's not enough. I pull away and kiss his chin, then his nose, then his forehead, then I kiss the tear that's rolling down his cheek. I love you too. I don't know what I'd do right now if I didn't have you, Holder. I love you so much, and I'm so sorry. I wanted you to be my first, and I'm sorry he took that from you. Holder adamantly shakes his head and shushes me with a quick kiss. Don't you ever say that again. Don't you ever think that again. Your father took that first from you in an unthinkable way, but I can guarantee you that's all he took. Because you were so strong, Sky. You're amazing and funny and smart and beautiful and so full of strength and courage. What he did to you doesn't take away from any of the best parts of you. You survived him once and you'll survive him again. I know you will. He places his palm over my heart, then pulls my hand to his chest over his own heart. He lowers his eyes to my level, ensuring I'm here with him, giving him my complete attention.
Fuck all the firsts, Sky. The only thing that matters to me with you are the forevers. I kiss him. Holy shit, do I kiss him. I kiss him with every ounce of emotion that's coursing through me. He cradles my head with his hand and lowers me back to the bed, climbing on top of me.
I love you, he says. I've loved you for so long, but I just couldn't tell you. It didn't feel right letting you love me back when I was keeping so much from you.
Tears are streaming down my cheeks again, and even though they're the exact same tears that come from the exact same eyes, they're completely new to me. They aren't tears from heartache or anger. They're tears from the incredible feeling overcoming me right now, hearing him say how much he loves me.
I don't think you could have picked a better time to tell me you loved me than tonight. I'm happy you waited.
He smiles, looking down at me with fascination. He dips his head and kisses me, infusing my mouth with the taste of him. He kisses me softly and gently, delicately sliding his mouth over mine as he unties my robe. I gasp when his hand eases inside, stroking my stomach with his fingertips. The feel of his touch on me right now is a completely different sensation than just 15 minutes ago. It's a sensation I want to feel.
God, I love you, he says, moving his hand from my stomach and across my waist.
He slowly trails his fingers down to my thigh, and I moan into his mouth, resulting in an even more determined kiss. He places a flat palm on the inside of my leg and puts slight pressure against it, wanting to ease himself against me, but I flinch and become tense. He can feel my involuntary moment of hesitation, so he pulls his lips from mine and looks down at me.
Remember, I'm touching you because I love you. No other reason.
I nod and close my eyes, still afraid that the same numbness and fear is about to wash over me again. Holder kisses my cheek and pulls my robe closed.
Open your eyes, he says gently.
When I do, he reaches up and traces a tear with his finger.
You're crying.
I smile up at him reassuringly.
It's okay. They're the good kind of tears.
He nods, but doesn't smile. He studies me for a moment, then takes my hand in his and laces our fingers together.
I want to make love to you, Sky. And I think you want it too, but I need you to understand something first.
He squeezes my hand and bends down, kissing another escaping tear.
I know it's hard for you to allow yourself to feel this. You've gone so long training yourself to block the feelings and emotions out any time someone touches you. But I want you to know that what your father physically did to you isn't what hurt you as a little girl. It's what he did to your faith in him that broke your heart. You suffered through one of the worst things a child can go through at the hands of your hero, the person you idolized. And I can't even begin to imagine what that must have felt like. But remember that the things he did to you are in no way related to the two of us when we're together like this. When I touch you, I'm touching you because I want to make you happy. When I kiss you, I'm kissing you because you have the most incredible mouth I've ever seen, and you know I can't not kiss it. And when I make love to you, I'm doing exactly that. I'm making love to you because I'm in love with you. The negative connotation you've been associating with physical touch your whole life doesn't apply to me. It doesn't apply to us. I'm touching you because I'm in love with you, and for no other reason.
His gentle words flood my heart and ease my nerves. He kisses me softly, and I relax beneath his hand.
a hand that's touching me out of nothing but love. I respond by completely dissolving into him, allowing my lips to follow his, my hands to intertwine with his, my rhythm to match his. I quickly become invested, ready to experience him because I want to, and for no other reason. "I love you," he whispers. The entire time he's touching me, exploring me with his hands and his lips and his eyes, he continues to tell me over and over how much he loves me. And for once, I remain completely in the moment, wanting to feel every single thing he's doing and saying to me. When he finally tosses the wrapper aside and readies himself against me, he looks down at me and smiles, then strokes the side of my face with his fingertips.
"Tell me you love me," he says.
I hold his gaze with unwavering confidence, wanting him to feel the honesty in my words. "I love you, Holder, so much. And just so you know, so did Hope." His eyebrows draw apart, and he lets out a quick rush of air as if he's been holding it in for 13 years, waiting for those exact words.
"I wish you could feel what that just did to me."
He immediately covers my mouth with his, and the familiar sweet mixture of him seeps into my mouth at the same moment he pushes inside of me, filling me with so much more than just himself. He fills me with his honesty, his love for me, and for a moment, he fills me with a piece of our forevers. I grasp his shoulders and move with him, feeling everything. Every single beautiful thing. Monday, October 29th, 2012, 9:50 a.m. I roll over, and Holder is sitting up next to me on the bed, looking down at his phone. He shifts his focus to me when I stretch, then bends down to kiss me, but I immediately turn my head.
"Morning breath," I mumble, crawling out of bed.
Holder laughs, then returns his attention back to his phone. I somehow made it back into my t-shirt overnight, but I'm not even sure when that happened. I take it off and slip into the bathroom to shower. When I'm finished, I walk back into the room, and he's packing up our things.
"What are you doing?"
I ask, watching him fold my shirt and place it back into the bag. He looks up at me briefly, then back down to the clothes spread out on the bed.
"We can't stay here forever, babe. We need to figure out what you want to do."
I take a few steps toward him, my heart speeding up in my chest.
But I don't know yet. I don't even have anywhere to go."
He hears the panic in my voice and walks around the bed, slipping his arms around me.
"You have me, Sky. Calm down. We can go back to my house and figure this out. Besides, we're both still in school. We can't just stop going, and we definitely can't live in a hotel forever."
The thought of going back to that town, just 2 miles from Karen, makes me uneasy. I'm afraid being so close to her will incite me to confront her, and I'm not ready to do that yet. I just want one more day. I want to see my old house again for one last time, in hopes that it will spark more memories. I don't want to rely on Karen to have to tell me the truth. I want to figure out as much as I can on my own. "One more day," I say. "Please, let's just stay one more day, then we'll go. I need to try and figure this out, and in order to do that, I need to go there one more time." Holder puts space between us, and he eyes me, shaking his head.
"No way," he says firmly. "I'm not putting you through that again. You're not going back."
I place my hands on his cheeks reassuringly.
"I need to, Holder. I swear I won't get out of the car this time. I swear. But I need to see the house again before we go.
I remembered so much while I was there. I just want a few more memories before you take me back and I have to decide what to do. He sighs and paces the floor, not wanting to agree to my desperate plea. Please, I say, knowing he won't be able to say no if I continue to beg. He slowly turns to the bed and picks the bags of clothes up, tossing them toward the closet.
Fine. I told you I would do whatever it was you felt you needed to do, but I'm not hanging all of those clothes back up, he says, pointing to the bags by the closet. I laugh and rush to him, throwing my arms around his neck. You're the best, most understanding boyfriend in the whole wide world.
He sighs and returns my hug.
No, I'm not, he says, pressing his lips to the side of my head. I'm the most whipped boyfriend in the whole wide world.
Monday, October 29th, 2012, 4:15 p.m. Out of all the minutes in the day, we would pick the same 10 minutes to sit across the street from my house that my father picks to pull up into the driveway. As soon as my father's car comes to a stop in front of the garage, Holder lifts his hand to his ignition. I reach over and place my trembling hand on his.
Don't leave, I say. I need to see what he looks like.
Holder sighs and forces his head into the back of his seat, knowing full well that we should leave, but also knowing there's no way I'll let him. I quit looking at Holder and look back at the police cruiser parked in the driveway across the street from us. The door opens and a man steps out, decked out in a uniform. His back is to us and he's holding a cell phone up to his ear. He's in the middle of a conversation, so he pauses in the yard and continues talking into the phone without heading inside. Looking at him, I don't have any reaction at all. I don't feel a single thing until the moment he turns around and I see his face.
Oh my God, I whisper aloud.
Holder looks at me questioningly, and I just shake my head.
It's nothing, I say. He just looks familiar. I haven't had an image of him in my head at all, but if I was to see him walking down the street, I would know him.
We both continue to watch him. Holder's hands are gripping the steering wheel and his knuckles are white. I look down at my own hands and realize I'm gripping the seatbelt in the same fashion. My father finally pulls the phone from his ear and places it into his pocket. He begins walking in our direction, and Holder's hands immediately fall back to the ignition. I gasp quietly, hoping he doesn't somehow know we're watching him. We both realize at the same time that my father is just headed to the mailbox at the end of the driveway, and we immediately relax.
Have you had enough? Holder says through gritted teeth. Because I can't stay here another second without jumping out of this car and beating his ass.
Almost, I say, not wanting him to do anything stupid, but also not wanting to leave just yet.
I watch as my father sorts through the mail, walking back toward the house, and for the first time it hits me.
What if he remarried? What if he has other children? What if he's doing this to someone else?
My palms begin to sweat against the slick material of the seatbelt, so I release it and wipe them across my jeans. My hands begin to tremble even more than before. I suddenly can't think of anything else other than the fact that I can't let him get away with this. I can't let him walk away, knowing he might be doing this to someone else. I need to know. I owe it to myself and to every single child my father comes in contact with to ensure he's not the evil monster that's painted in my memories. In order to know for sure, I know I need to see him. I need to speak to him. I need to know why he did what he did to me. When my father unlocks the front door and disappears inside, Holder lets out a huge breath.
Now, he says, turning toward me. I know beyond a doubt he would tackle me right now if he expected me to do what I'm about to do. Just so I don't give off any clues, I force a smile and nod.
Yeah, we can go now.
He places his hand back on the ignition. At the same time he turns his wrist to crank it, I release my seatbelt, swing open the door, and run. I run across the street and across my father's front yard, all the way to the porch. I never even hear Holder coming up behind me. He doesn't make a noise as he wraps his arms around me and physically lifts me off my feet, carrying me back down the steps. He's still carrying me, and I'm kicking him, trying to pry his arms from around my stomach.
What the hell do you think you're doing?
He doesn't put me down. He just continues to dominate my strength while he carries me across the yard.
Let go of me right now, Holder, or I'll scream. I swear to God, I'll scream.
With that threat, he spins me around to face him, and he shakes my shoulders, glaring at me with utter disappointment.
Don't do this, Skye. You don't need to face him again, not after what he's done. I want you to give yourself more time.
I look up at him with an ache in my heart that I'm sure is clearly seen in my eyes.
I have to know if he's doing this to anyone else. I need to know if he has more kids. I can't just let it go, knowing what he's capable of. I have to see him. I have to talk to him. I need to know that he's not that man anymore before I can allow myself to get back in that car and just drive away.
He shakes his head. Don't do this. Not yet. We can make a few phone calls. We'll find out whatever we can online about him first. Please, Skye. He slides his hands from my shoulders to my arms and urges me toward his car. I hesitate, still adamant that I need to see him face to face. Nothing I find out about him online will tell me what I can gain from just hearing his voice or looking him in the eyes.
Is there a problem here?
Holder and I both snap our heads in the direction of the voice. My father is standing at the base of the porch steps. He's eyeing Holder, who still has a firm grip on my arms.
Young lady, is this man hurting you?
The sound of his voice alone makes my knees buckle. Holder can feel me weakening, so he pulls me against his chest.
Let's go,
he whispers, wrapping his arm around me and ushering me forward back toward his car.
Don't move!
I freeze, but Holder continues to try and push me forward with more urgency.
Turn around.
My father's voice is more demanding this time. Holder pauses right along with me now, both of us knowing the ramifications of ignoring the directions of a cop.
Play it off, Holder says into my ear. He might not recognize you.
I nod and inhale a deep breath. Then we both turn around slowly. My father is several feet away from the house now, closing in on us. He's eyeing me hard, walking toward me with his hand on his holster. I dart my eyes to the ground because his face is full of recognition, and it terrifies me. He stops several feet from us and pauses. Holder tightens his grip around me, and I continue to stare at the ground, too scared to even breathe.
Princess?
Monday, October 29th, 2012, 4:35 p.m.
Don't you fucking touch her!
Holder is yelling, and there's pressure under my arms. His voice is close, so I know he's holding me. I drop my hands to my sides and feel grass between my fingers.
Baby, open your eyes, please.
Holder's hand is caressing the side of my face. I slowly open my eyes and look up. He's looking down over me, my father hovering right behind him.
It's okay, you just passed out. I need you to stand up. We need to leave.
He pulls me to my feet and keeps his arm around my waist, practically doing the standing for me. My father is right in front of me now, staring.
It is you,
he says. He glances at Holder, then back to me.
Hope,
Do you remember me? His eyes are full of tears. Mine aren't.
Let's go, Holder says again. I resist his pull and step out of his grasp. I look back at my father, at a man who is somehow portraying emotions like he once must have loved me. He's full of shit.
Do you? He says again, taking another step closer.
Holder inches me back with each step closer my father gets.
Hope, do you remember me?
How could I forget you? The irony is I did forget him. Completely. I forgot all about him and the things he did to me and the life I had here. But I don't want him to know that. I want him to know that I remember him and every single thing he ever did to me.
It's you, he says, fidgeting his hand down at his side. You're alive. You're okay.
He pulls out his radio, I'm assuming in an attempt to call in the report. Before his fingers can even press the button, Holder reaches out and knocks the radio out of his hand. It falls to the ground, and my father bends down and grabs it, then takes a defensive step back, his hand resting on his holster again.
I wouldn't let anyone know she's here if I were you, Holder says. I doubt you would want the fact that you're a fucking pervert to be front-page news.
All the color immediately washes from my father's face, and he looks back at me with fear in his eyes.
What?
He's looking at me in disbelief.
Hope. Whoever took you, they lied to you. They told you things about me that weren't true.
He's closer now, and his eyes are desperate and pleading.
Who took you, Hope? Who was it?
I take a confident step toward him.
I remember everything you did to me, and if you just give me what I'm here for, I swear I'll walk away and you'll never hear from me again.
He continues to shake his head, disbelieving the fact that his daughter is standing right in front of him. I'm sure he's also trying to process the fact that his whole life is now in jeopardy. His career, his reputation, his freedom. If it were possible, his face grows even paler when he realizes that he can't deny it any longer. He knows I know.
What is it you want?
I look toward the house, then back to him again. Answers, I say. And I want anything you have that belonged to my mother. Holder has a death grip on my waist again. I reach down and grip his hand with mine, just needing the reassurance that I'm not alone right now. My confidence is quickly fading with each moment being spent in my father's presence. Everything about him, from his voice to his facial expressions to his movements, makes my stomach ache. My father glances at Holder briefly, then turns to look at me again.
We can talk inside, he says quietly, his eyes darting around to the houses surrounding us.
The fact that he appears nervous now only proves that he's weighed his options and he doesn't have very many to choose from. He nudges his head toward the front door and begins making his way up the steps.
Leave your gun, Holder says.
My father pauses, but doesn't turn around. He slowly reaches to his side and removes his gun. He places it gently on the steps of the porch, then begins to ascend the stairs.
Both of them, Holder says.
My father pauses again before reaching the door. He bends down to his ankle and lifts his pant leg, then removes that gun as well. Once both guns are out of his reach, he walks inside, leaving the door open for us. Before I step inside, Holder spins me around to face him.
I'm staying right here with the door open. I don't trust him. Don't go any further than the living room.
I nod and he kisses me quick and hard, then releases me. I step into the living room, and my father is sitting on his couch, his hands clasped in front of him. He's staring down at the floor. I walk to the seat nearest me and sit on the edge of it, refusing to relax into it. Being in this house and in his presence is causing my mind to clutter and my chest to tighten.
I take several slow breaths, attempting to calm my fear. I use the moment of silence between us to find something in his features that resemble mine. The color of his hair, maybe? He's much taller than me, and his eyes, when he's able to look at me, are dark green, unlike mine. Other than the caramel color of his hair, I look nothing like him. I smile at the fact that I look nothing like him. My father lifts his eyes to mine, and he sighs, shifting uncomfortably.
"Before you say anything," he says, "you need to know that I loved you and I've regretted what I did every second of my life."
I don't verbally respond to that statement, but I have to physically refrain myself from reacting to his bullshit. He could spend the rest of his life apologizing, and it would never be enough to erase even one of the nights my doorknob turned.
"I want to know why you did it," I say with a shaky voice. I hate that I sound so pathetically weak right now. I sound like the little girl that used to beg him to stop. I'm not that little girl anymore, and I sure as hell don't want to appear weak in front of him. He leans back in his seat and rubs his hands over his eyes.
"I don't know," he says, exasperated. "After your mother died, I started drinking heavily again. It wasn't until a year later that I got so drunk one night that I woke up the next morning and knew I had done something terrible. I was hoping it was just a horrible dream, but when I went to wake you up that morning, you were different. You weren't the same happy little girl you used to be. Overnight, you somehow became someone who was terrified of me. I hated myself. I'm not even sure what I did to you because I was too drunk to remember. But I knew it was something awful, and I am so, so sorry. It never happened again, and I did everything I could to make it up to you. I bought you presents all the time and gave you whatever you wanted. I didn't want you to remember that night."
I grip my knees in an attempt not to leap across the living room and strangle him. The fact that he's trying to play it off as happening one time makes me hate him even more than before, if that's even possible. He's treating it like it was an accident, like he broke a coffee mug or had a fucking fender bender.
"It was night after night after night," I say. I'm having to muster up every ounce of control I can find to not scream at the top of my lungs. "I was scared to go to bed, and scared to wake up, and scared to take a bath, and scared to speak to you. I wasn't a little girl afraid of monsters in her closet or under her bed. I was terrified of the monster that was supposed to love me. You were supposed to be protecting me from the people like you."
Holder is kneeling at my side now, gripping my arm as I scream at the man across the room. My whole body is shaking, and I lean into Holder, needing to feel his calmness. He rubs my arm and kisses my shoulder, letting me get out the things I need to say without once trying to stop me. My father sinks back into his seat, and tears begin flowing from his eyes. He doesn't defend himself because he knows I'm right. He has nothing at all to say to me. He just cries into his hands, feeling sorry that he's finally being confronted, and not at all sorry for what he actually did. "Do you have any other children?" I ask, glaring at the eyes so full of shame that they can't even make contact with mine. He drops his head and presses a palm to his forehead, but fails to answer me.
"Do you?"
I yell. I need to know that he hasn't done this to anyone else, that he's not still doing it. He shakes his head.
"No, I never remarried after your mother."
His voice is defeated, and from the looks of him, so is he. "Am I the only one you did this to?" He keeps his eyes trained to the floor, continuing to avoid my line of questions with long pauses.
"You owe me the truth," I say steadily. "Did you do this to anyone else before you did it to me?"
I can sense him closing up. The hardness in his eyes makes it evident that he has no intentions of revealing any more truths. I drop my head into my hands, not knowing what to do next. It feels so wrong leaving him to live his life like he is, but I'm also terrified of what might happen if I report him. I'm scared of how much my life will change. I'm scared that no one will believe me since it was so many years ago. But what terrifies me more than any of that is the fear that I love him too much to want to ruin the rest of his life. Being in his presence not only reminds me of all the horrible things he did to me, it also reminds me of the father he once was underneath all of that. Being inside this house is causing a hurricane of emotions to build within me. I look at the table in the kitchen and begin to recall good memories of conversations we had sitting there. I look at the back door and remember us running outside to go watch the train pass by in the field behind our house. Everything about my surroundings is filling me with conflicting memories, and I don't like loving him just as much as I hate him. I wipe tears from my eyes and look back at him. He's staring silently down at the floor, and as much as I try not to, I see glimpses of my daddy. I see the man who loved me like he used to love me. Long before, I became terrified of the doorknob turning.
14 years earlier.
She says, brushing the hair behind my ears. We're both lying on my bed, and she's behind me, snuggling me against her chest. I've been up sick all night. I don't like being sick, but I love the way my mommy takes care of me when I am. I close my eyes and try to fall asleep so I'll feel better. I'm almost asleep when I hear my doorknob turn, so I open my eyes. My daddy walks in and smiles down at my mommy and me. He stops smiling when he sees me, though, because he can tell I don't feel good. My daddy doesn't like it when I feel sick because he loves me and it makes him sad. He sits down on his knees next to me and touches my face with his hand.
"How's my baby girl feeling?"
he says.
"I don't feel good, Daddy,"
I whisper. He frowns when I say that. I should have just told him I felt good so he wouldn't frown. He looks up at my mommy, lying in bed behind me, and he smiles at her. He touches her face just like he touched mine.
"How's my other girl?"
I can feel her touch his hand when he talks to her. "Tired," she says. "I've been up all night with her." He stands up and pulls her hand until she stands up, too. I watch him wrap his arms around her and hug her. Then he kisses her on the cheek.
"I'll take it from here,"
he says, running his hand down her hair.
"You go get some rest, okay?"
My mommy nods and kisses him again, then walks out of the room. My daddy walks around the bed, and he lies in the same spot my mommy was in. He wraps his arms around me.